Lesson 2. Principles of Communication. Lesson Objectives. By the end of this lesson, the student should 1. Identify three components in communication. 2. Recognize two places at which communication can break down. 3. Understand the expectations for different forms of spoken communication. 4. Recognize the unique characteristics of written communication. 5. Avoid hindrances to successful communication. Introduction. If we were computers, communication would be easy. We could plug a cord into the mind of one person and a cord into the mind of the other person, press a button, and the communication would transfer quickly and without error. However, God has not chosen for man to communicate in that way. God has a much better plan. In fact, God has designed communication to be one of the most enjoyable experiences in life. Have you noticed that God has made the activities that are necessary to life enjoyable? It is necessary for us to eat to have strength, so God has made eating enjoyable. It is necessary for us to have rest to renew our strength, so God has made rest enjoyable. In a similar way, God has made communication enjoyable. It is a joy and pleasure to communicate and build relationships with other people. Communication involves three components: the communicator, the recipient, and the message. The person who is communicating gives a message to be received by a second person. Two reasons a message may not be successfully communicated. A communicator may not communicate clearly. There is no perfect communicator. All of us have thoughts that are difficult to express. It is even sometimes difficult to express ourselves to God. That is why the Holy Spirit helps us with our prayers, expressing things we do not know how to express. Romans 8:26. Regardless of how skillful people are as communicators, they are never able to express everything in their minds. Sometimes communication fails when a speaker is trying to choose his words or when a writer is trying to write a document. We have communication problems any time the communicator and the recipient use words differently. Communication can fail because of the writer or speaker. A recipient may not understand the message. Most of the time, a recipient cannot concentrate well enough to understand everything another person is saying, either in spoken or written communication. Even if one understands all the words, it is difficult to understand the complete communication because small distinctions between words change from one person to the other. Communication can fail because of the listener or reader. Even if a teacher is a good communicator and a student is a good recipient, some of the original message will be lost between the teacher and the student. Our task is to reduce misunderstanding and improve communication. Communication is one of the most important things we do each day. God has made us as creatures who are constantly creating and receiving communication. Good communicators are constantly learning more to improve their ability to communicate. If we do not continue to learn and grow, we will not be effective and interesting communicators. What are the different forms of communication? Spoken communication. One-on-one communication. One person speaking to one other person is the most intimate and usually the most successful form of communication. In this type of communication, it is easy to determine if the other person understands you. You have instant feedback that enables you to measure the success of the communication. You can use various explanations to successfully transfer information from you to another person. This is the most relaxed and natural form of communication. Small groups. This is the kind of communication we experience in families, at work, and in informal social gatherings. Small group communication can include anything from family conversations to more formal settings, such as a Sunday school class. To many people, addressing a crowd creates anxiety and discomfort. However, those same people often speak to family gatherings, informal gatherings of friends, and other small groups without much stress. Public speaking. In public speaking, a communicator addresses a large group of people. This kind of communication is nearly always formal, even though there may be an informal atmosphere. Speaking to large crowds of people is the most efficient way of communicating the maximum amount of information in the shortest period of time. Church services, political rallies, and other large gatherings all use this kind of public speaking. When speaking in these settings, it is difficult for a speaker to determine whether individuals in the audience are understanding the message. Miscommunication is more likely to occur. Most people feel that public speaking is the most difficult form of spoken communication. Informal communication. Most of us are involved in informal kinds of communication every day. Most informal communication requires no preparation. One simply responds to situations in a natural way. Even in informal situations, some people are more gifted than others at expressing themselves. Formal communication. Formal communication is usually for occasions that are planned in advance. Formal communication requires that the speaker prepare his presentation in advance. Formal communication often creates anxiety and fear on the part of the presenter, especially when the person is not accustomed to speaking publicly. Preaching, lecturing, and similar presentations are formal presentations. Formal communication can take place in small groups or in one-on-one situations. If you are invited to meet the governor, this will likely be a formal situation. You should prepare for that meeting as seriously as if you were addressing a large crowd. Written communication. Written communication has many of the same characteristics as spoken communication, but some characteristics are unique to written communication. 1. Written communication is often shorter than spoken communication. Written communication usually has a limitation of length that is not necessary in spoken communication. Because of this, a written letter is usually shorter than a phone conversation. 2. Written communication is often more precise than spoken communication. The fact that a person must take time to write out his communication usually means that the communication is more precise. Because written communication will be examined more closely, the writer is often more careful to be completely accurate. 3. Written communication tends to be more formal than spoken communication. Since the recipient is not in front of the writer, one tends to use a more formal means of communication than if the person was in the immediate vicinity. 4. Written communication often has more impact than spoken communication. Spoken communication may not have as much authority as written communication. In legal situations, communication is not official until it is written. 5. Written communication lasts longer than spoken communication. If someone speaks out loud, it is easy to forget what was said. However, if someone has written something, that message could continue to communicate as long as the piece of paper exists. In some situations, written communication is more effective than spoken communication. To be a good communicator, a person needs to develop writing skills as well as speaking skills. Using a variety of communication forms. In addition to speaking and writing, we can communicate with drama, pictures, music, bodily movement, touch, and actions. Most educators agree that the most effective teaching uses multiple forms of communication. If a person hears a message and then sees the message reinforced with a picture or object lesson, he will learn much more. Some researchers say that we remember 10% of what we read. We remember 20% of what we hear. We remember 30% of what we see. We remember 50% of what we see and hear. We remember 90% of what we do. This illustrates the point that multiple forms of communication increase learning. When we supplement one form of communication with another form of communication, we enhance our effectiveness. Factors that influence communication. There are many things that influence the success of our communications. The message. The nature of our message will have a great impact on the communication. For example, there is a big difference between a funeral message and a birthday greeting. There is a great difference between a presentation about HIV/AIDS in Nigeria and a presentation for a college graduation ceremony. There are differences between a sermon, a formal academic presentation, and a speech at a political rally. The length of the message will also influence the message. As strange as it might seem, the shorter the message, the more one must work on the message to make sure it communicates the important points within the time constraints. If one is to make an important presentation in a few minutes, it may require a lot of preparation. A man once asked US President Dwight Eisenhower how long it would take him to prepare a speech. He replied, "If you want a 15-minute speech, give me 2 weeks. If you want a 30-minute speech, give me a week. If you want an hour speech, give me 2 or 3 days. If you want a 2-hour speech, I am ready right now." His point was that if you have only a limited amount of time, you must work very hard at getting it just right. Preparation. Most public speakers need to spend significant time preparing a presentation. There is usually a direct relationship between the impact of a presentation and the preparation that went into it. One of the biggest reasons many sermons have limited impact is a lack of preparation. Many people depend upon their natural ability to get them through a sermon. We should take every speaking engagement seriously. Some people write out every word they are going to say in public. It takes longer to do this kind of preparation, but the reward is in the effectiveness of the presentation. The environment. The environment of a presentation affects the way one prepares and presents the message. If one is speaking at an outdoor evangelistic crusade in a village, he will prepare much differently than for a conference of pastors in a hotel room. When accepting an invitation to speak, it is essential to learn as much about the physical environment as possible. The circumstances. One needs to know about the circumstances that led to the invitation. For example, the author of this course was asked to speak on the philosophy of Christian education for the staff of a school. He learned that the school board was rethinking their philosophy. Circumstances had changed over the last 60 years, and it was time for the school to make sure that they understood their mission. Knowing this background helped him prepare his presentations. The audience. Several factors about the audience influence communication. Age. The attention span of children is not as long as that of an adult. You may need to shorten your speech or use special techniques to keep the attention of children. Gender. Women have different interests than men. Therefore, you will prepare differently for a male or a female audience. A mixed audience forces you to prepare in an even different manner. Interests. If you are speaking to a group of lawyers, you will prepare and speak differently than if you were addressing a group of athletes. One should always take into consideration the specific interests of the audience. Education. If you are giving an academic paper to a group of university lecturers, you will approach the presentation differently than if you were teaching a Bible lesson to a class of 12-year-olds. Health and strength. A pastor's wife speaks to senior citizens each week. These people are old and weak and do not have the attention span of healthy young people. She prepares and delivers her message differently than if she were addressing a young audience. Duration. The time available for the presentation will determine the preparation for the communication. A salesman who is given 10 minutes to make his case will speak differently than if given 1 minute. Because these factors affect one's preparation and delivery, one should try to get as much information as possible about the audience when accepting a speaking engagement. Hindrances to communication. Fear of public speaking. Many people's greatest fear is the fear of public speaking. There are soldiers who are fearless in risking their lives in battle, but who are terrified when asked to say a few words in front of 15 or 20 people. The best cure for fear of public speaking is experience. The more one speaks in public, the more likely he will become comfortable speaking in public. When a well-known public speaker was complimented for his public speaking skills, he smiled and said, "I get a lot of practice." Experience is necessary for becoming comfortable as a public speaker. Lack of adequate preparation. We have already talked about the importance of preparation. Lack of adequate preparation is one of the greatest causes of unsuccessful public speaking. What are some of the common problems speakers have with preparation? Poor introduction. If a person does not start well, it is not likely that the presentation will go well. Poor conclusion. A good conclusion is just as important as a good introduction. This is the last thing the audience will hear. They will remember the conclusion. Poor illustrations. One of the most important parts of any public presentation is the use of illustrations that help the audience understand the message. Poor organization. Good communication develops in an organized way. A disorganized speaker may say many good things, but the audience may not understand his primary message. All of these are issues related to preparation. We may not be able to avoid nervousness when we step to the podium. We may not be able to control the environment in which we speak. However, we can do something about a good introduction and a good conclusion. We can control the illustrations in our presentations, and we can control the organization of our presentations. These things are an important part of preparation. There is no substitute for good preparation. It is unprofessional to fail to prepare well for a public presentation. Failure to be sensitive to the audience. Public speaking is more than communication in one direction, from speaker to listener. A good public speaker is always conscious of the response of his audience. The best way to do this is to establish good eye contact with the audience. A good public speaker can see in the eyes of his audience whether or not he is successfully communicating. When a speaker realizes he is losing the attention of his audience, he must do whatever is necessary to get their attention back. Here are some things the speaker can do. Stop speaking and wait. A period of silence will get the attention of the audience. Tell a story. A story helps to recapture attention. Sometimes you may need to tell a story sooner than you had planned. Give a startling fact or statistic. Use humor. Give a practical life application of your topic. Use an object or write on a board. Interact with someone in the audience. If the audience is sleepy, have them stand and stretch. If the audience is sleepy, have them sing a chorus or song. A speaker must constantly be aware of distractions. If a person walks into the classroom or if there is a commotion outside the classroom, it is better to stop speaking until the distraction is removed. When 50% of the audience is looking at the person who has entered late, you need to stop and wait. When there is a distraction in the classroom, sometimes it helps to make a little joke. You can say, "I am going to wait a minute for you to see the person who has walked in because he is more interesting than me. I am a teacher, and teachers know that there is no reason to keep talking when there are distractions. As soon as you are satisfied seeing your brother, I will continue." The people will usually laugh and turn their attention back to you. Keeping the attention of your listeners. Duane Littfin lists 10 things that will help keep the attention of our audience. Note: adapted from Duane Littfin, Public Speaking, 2nd edition, Grand Rapids, Baker Book House, 1996, page 47. See also page 239. 1. Surprise. Our attention is drawn to things that are different from what we expect. When an expert in the law of Moses asked Jesus, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered with a story that had a surprising ending. The story of the Good Samaritan had a despised Samaritan as the hero of the story. Luke 10:25-37. This story kept the attention of Jesus' listeners. 2. Movement or activity. When all else is still, movement will capture our attention. Likewise, when all else is moving, something stationary will often stand out. It is the contrast that captures our attention. To show his displeasure with the injustice of the religious leaders in the temple, Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons, Matthew 21:12. Do you think Jesus captured the attention of the people in the temple? 3. Closeness. Current events or things that happen near us will gain our attention. While Jesus was teaching, there were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus responded by teaching a lesson based on this current event and another recent tragedy that had occurred in Siloam, Luke 13:1-5. He knew that recent events capture the attention of listeners. 4. Visibility. Something specific we can see usually attracts our attention better than something abstract, general, or ordinary. This is why illustrations are important. When Jesus taught, he pointed to concrete items to illustrate his teaching. It is like a grain of mustard seed, Mark 4:31. Show me a denarius, Luke 20:24. Look at the fig tree, Luke 21:29. 5. Familiarity. In a setting where things are unfamiliar and unknown, that which is familiar will usually stand out to us. To teach a lesson about our response to God's word, Jesus pointed to a familiar scene in his world, a farmer sowing seed in a field. A sower went out to sow, Matthew 13:3. 6. Conflict. In a condition of harmony and peace, opposition between two or more things tends to grasp our attention. Repeatedly, Jesus emphasized the differences, the conflict, between his teaching and the teaching of the Pharisees and other religious leaders. This drew the attention of the crowds. And when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at his teaching, Matthew 22:33. 7. Suspense. When we have the entire picture except a few key pieces, we are attracted to the missing pieces to see how the whole fits together. When the religious leaders criticized Jesus for eating with sinners, he began to tell a story. He told of a runaway son who decided to come home, Luke 15:11-32. The people listening would have been waiting to know, what happens to this son? Will his father reject him? Will the community run him away because he has shamed them? What will happen to this rebellious son? Jesus knew how to create suspense. 8. Intensity. When something stands out as more intense than those things surrounding it, we will normally pay attention to it. Repeatedly, the people who heard Jesus teach recognized the power and authority in his teaching. The intensity of his teaching amazed his listeners, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes, Mark 1:22. 9. Humor. At the heart of almost all humor is something that is not where or what it is supposed to be. Humor will nearly always claim our attention. Jesus' listeners must have laughed when he said, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" Matthew 7:3. 10. Relevance to daily life. Things related to our basic needs and everyday experiences and emotions tend to interest us. When Jesus was preaching to ordinary people with little money or savings, he talked about the things that they needed in daily life. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. And why are you anxious about clothing? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, "What shall we eat?" or "What shall we drink?" or "What shall we wear?" But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew 6, 25 and 28, 31, 33. Jesus spoke to the basic needs of life. Failure to develop a central theme. Failure to clearly develop a central theme is one of the two most important problems with many sermons and other public speeches. Listen to a Sunday afternoon conversation. Thomas. Did you enjoy church this morning?
Sarah.
Yes, it was good.
Thomas. Was the sermon good?
Sarah.
Very good.
Thomas. What was the sermon about?
Sarah.
He talked about sin and about heaven and about a broken-down car that he saw yesterday. He said many good things. The pastor said many good things, but there was no unified message in the sermon. This harms the pastor's ability to communicate a powerful message. When his listeners go home, they do not remember a central theme for the sermon. When a person goes away from a sermon or other public speech, he should be able to summarize what the speaker talked about in a few words. If the average person in the audience cannot do that, then the speaker has not really succeeded. After a person has developed the theme for his presentation, he needs to develop an outline and illustrations and applications that focus attention on the central theme. A preacher's theme or a teacher's objectives provide a goal for the entire sermon or lesson. It is important to progress from the known to the unknown. Public speakers should start by talking about things with which the audience is comfortable before moving into unknown areas. Good speeches start with something with which the audience is familiar and then flow to the new material. They keep the audience moving towards the main theme of the speech. Failure to illustrate well. A second reason for poor sermons is the failure to illustrate well. Not every person will become a master storyteller. However, if you cannot find and present interesting stories and illustrations, you will not be an effective public speaker. A public speaker must constantly be looking for good illustrations and must find a way to organize and store them for future use. Finding and adapting illustrations will require more effort than just about anything else. In Lesson 4, we will learn how to develop good sermon illustrations. Conclusion. Communication is both an art and a science. It is a science in the sense that it can be analyzed and follows certain predictable laws. It is an art in that it can be developed in such a way as to appeal to the aesthetic part of human nature. Communication is both a gift and an achievement. Most good public speakers have a certain amount of natural ability. However, that natural ability can be developed and improved. God gave us the gift of communication. We should use and develop this gift to the best of our ability.